Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Private analytical firm Informa Economics expects USDA will increase its corn production forecast to 14.013 billion bushels using a 157.2 bushel per acre yield estimate in this Thursday's crop production report. That would be a production increase of 250 million bushels and a yield increase of 2.8 BPA from last month's USDA estimate. Informa expects USDA to lower soybean production by 16 million bushels to 3.239 billion bushels with an average yield of 42.4 BPA, which is down 0.2 of a BPA from last month's estimate. China's August inflation edged down, suggesting China's economic recovery may be gathering strength. Consumer prices rose 2.6%, down from July's 2.7%. Food prices rose 4.7%, down from the previous month's 5%. Communist leaders are trying to nurture more self-sustaining growth driven by domestic consumption instead of trade and investment. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 14,986. It's up 77 points. The NASDAQ, 3,154, up 25.25. The S&P 500 is 1,661, up 7.5 points. Be sure to join us if you are in the area this evening for another one of our free WILL Ag Outlook panels. We'll be at the Champaign County Farm Bureau this evening at 7 o'clock. Panelists include Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. That's tonight at 7 at the Champaign County Farm Bureau offices. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will likely see a mix of weather this week and an opportunity for some relief coming on from dryness in the western Corn Belt expected later this week going into the weekend. We've got a couple of cool fronts will be working their way across the Midwest this week. The first one is not going to be very significant. It'll produce some showers and a few thunderstorms as it moves across the area. Late Tuesday night into Thursday of this week, and there will be maybe about 60% total coverage as the precipitation as the system moves across the region. But as far as generating a substantial amount of rain, this system is not going to do it. We'll look for a few hundredths of an inch to a quarter of an inch occurring most often. There'll be some local 5/10 of an inch amounts in some areas across the western and central parts of the Corn Belt. There will be some potential for better rain in the eastern Midwest, perhaps in parts of Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, and maybe southeastern Michigan. These areas might pick up on a half inch to maybe an inch of rain, but only in localized areas. The majority of the precipitation in the Midwest in general is still not going to be enough to counter the evaporation for the week. Temperatures are going to be very warm to hot as we move forward through the next 3 days, just like over the weekend. Weekend temperatures were in the 90s across the western Corn Belt, down into the Delta, and certainly into a few other areas in the Midwest and southeastern states. Extremes got over 100 degrees in the Central Plains, with 106 degrees in Nebraska. And if you hadn't looked at the calendar, this is the second week of September. The heat will continue into Wednesday of this week, and we'll likely see temperatures again in the 90s across a fair amount of the Midwest, coming out of Kansas and running clear over into Ohio and southward to the Gulf of Mexico coast states. Temperatures near and over 100 degrees will still continue in a portion of the southwestern Corn Belt, down into the Delta, and portions of the Tennessee River Basin. This will be the last of the extreme heat, though. As we get into Thursday and Friday, that cool front that I mentioned previously will bring some relief. Now, temperatures will still be warmer than normal, across the western and southern parts of the Midwest, but the north will likely turn somewhat cooler. The Great Lakes region may see highs in the upper 60s and 70s as we finish out this work week. The frontal system that follows this little period of that we've just talked about is probably the most significant event that we need to note here today. The computer forecast models are suggesting that a trough of low pressure will move through the Great Plains and into the western Corn Belt as we finish out this work week and go into the weekend. The amount of rain being suggested in the model data is very impressive, over 4 inches for Nebraska and 1 to 2 inch amounts in portions of Iowa. I'm a little bit leery about buying into that, and you should be as well, but we do think that we'll have some of the best coverage of rain in the western Corn Belt that we've seen in quite a while, but the amounts may still be disappointing. Now, with that said, any rain in a generalized manner was going to be beneficial for the western Corn Belt, and even if the models have underestimated the rain by 50%, there should still be some relieving moisture across the region, and temperatures are expected to turn a little bit cooler as well. A third cool front may be impacting the Midwest sometime mid to late week next week, and it will add to the cooling trend and to the moisture influx, and we may see more relief to the soybean and other late season crops across the region. Our temperatures will be cooling down a little bit this week. We'll see the highs late this week going to the weekend running from 60s and 70s in the Great Lakes region to 70s and lower 80s in the rest of the region. I think that the models may be erring a little bit too cool. We may be actually seeing more 80 degree readings at the end of the week until that second storm system moves across the region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat, 694, down 1.5. Soft December at 646.75, down 1. September corn, 484.5, down 7. December, 469.25, up 1. September soybeans, 1438, up 1. November, 1371, up 3.25. September soybean meal, 482.10, unchanged. October, 435, up 30. September soybean oil, 43.45, up 9. October, 43.64, up 21. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you this morning.
You're coming over this afternoon for Champaign County Outlook meeting. That's going to be 7 o'clock this evening. What are the most pressing questions that you think you're going to hear tonight from producers?
I guess the first thing is going to be as far as market action for the beans. I think a lot of people have started to realize that this lack of moisture over the last couple, 3 weeks has certainly impacted yield prospects. It'd be interesting to see kind of what the early yield numbers are. And I think kind of like what you alluded to in a previous discussion was the demand prospects going forward. Has corn demand really been cut back as much as it has, or and how fast will it come back to us?
Two very important questions as we begin to zero in on the September WASDE and crop production reports. They come out Thursday. How much of the trade will they take on the early part of the week?
You know, I think realistically we're probably going to chop around until those Thursday numbers. I think the trade really would like to see some yield adjustments in the beans, and they would like to see some acreage adjustments, taking into consideration some of the prospective planting considerations. But most of us realize that that's not going to happen. That's going to be an October concern. So what we can do right now is just look and see what the USDA anticipates for yield expectations. They'll probably get a little bit better handle on corn yield because the crop is maturing quite a bit faster, so we'll get better numbers there, and then maybe see some anticipation as far as the demand numbers are for corn and beans both.
Interesting thing is that although the U.S. Soybean crop is getting smaller, but most people believe it is, on the world level, we still have lots of soybeans.
We certainly do. I think these higher price levels are definitely going to stimulate additional production out of South America. The problem going forward is really what kind of yield numbers they're going to have out of South America. I think there's a lot of discussion as far as the El Nino, La Nina situation is concerned. There's a lot of stuff in the flux. And I would say the acreage mix going forward for us next year might actually try to stimulate some bean acres, but that might leave corn in the lurch.
Another interesting question actually surrounds what happens come February. If the crop is as big as USDA thinks it is, and we trade in February prices for average corn at $450, $470, what does that leave us for crop insurance and going forward marketing?
I would assume based on that premise that our crop insurance values are going to be a lot lower than they were the last couple of years, and it's also going to put a lot of emphasis on basis levels because we're going to have a lot of corn in the bin, a lot of beans in the bin, and the basis levels are going to be the one that the spigot that pulls it out.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana, current taking the marketplace. September corn, 485 and three quarters, down 5 3/4. December, 468 and three quarters, up a half. September soybeans, 1440 up 3. November, 1375 up 7 1/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.